A Black Executive Perspective now presents Need to Know with the award-winning hyphenated Dr. Nsenga Burton. Dr. Burton, what do we need to know?
Good afternoon and welcome to Need to Know with Dr. Nsenga Burton. I am she. I am happy to be talking to you today because, hey, I'm above ground. So any day above ground, as my grandfather used to say, he also said he was on borrowed time, on somebody else's time. And he lived into his 90s, but a day above ground is better than any other day that you could have. So I'm happy to be here. Celebrated Memorial Day, as you know, that was founded by African Americans, formerly enslaved African Americans, who wanted to honor Union soldiers who had been left in an unmarked grave, and that kind of started this whole thing. It was known as Decoration Day. So wanted to give you just a little bit of history as we were all, not all of us, but many of us were celebrating on Monday and celebrating those who have passed away in battle and in honor of our country. So it's always interesting to me to kind of look at the juxtaposition between that and what is actually happening now. Because we have someone who some call a draft dodger, 47, but you know, who definitely has not served any time in the military, somehow evaded that, although he could have served many times in the military, even when he was drafted, allegedly. But somehow, you know, was not, did not have to serve. But when we think about what's happening in our world today, especially as it relates to veterans and the many veterans that have been displaced, they have been put out of their jobs. And I find it also fascinating that so many veterans supported this president because he is not someone who has military service, and he has said some awful things about those who have, including, you know, calling folks losers. I mean, he was horrible to John McCain. I mean, horrible to John McCain when he was running for office, and to other veterans of note. He has just not treated them well publicly. He has not spoken well of veterans publicly. And he just basically calls them losers. And, you know, he was, don't be mad at him because he was smart enough to not go to war, and because he didn't have to do that, and that because of his, you know, magnetic personality, he is able to attract, supporters who are veterans, despite the fact that he has said these horrible things and, you know, cut funding. He did that in the first term to veteran causes. Veterans make up a large portion of the unhoused community, which people don't like to admit, but it is true because we are not good to our veterans. I can say that because I come from a family of veterans. And, you know, once you're out, you're pretty much on your own. And then it's up to you to go get what you have been offered, or what you have earned. I would say you have earned. It's also it's often a complicated process to get those things, whether it's the GI Bill, whether it's help with your housing, you know, all of the things. And so as we think about these holidays that are coming up, you know, we think about Memorial Day, we think about Independence Day. For some of us, it's Juneteenth. And I just want to also say real quick, I know Tony's like, wrap it up, land the plane. But I do want to say this, that Juneteenth was not something that was celebrated by all African-Americans throughout the country. Not all of us are from Texas, Louisiana, and, you know, neighboring states. And so we did not have the Juneteenth experience, if you will. And I only really learned about Juneteenth when one of my line sisters, who's from Texas, was celebrating when we were in college. And I was like, well, what's Juneteenth? So even making that a national holiday, as if it was going to appease all African-Americans, many of whom, and I would say the majority of whom, did not celebrate Juneteenth, is interesting. But what I want to talk about is the hypocrisy of this democracy and the hypocrisy of this president, and how he pretends to care about this particular population of veterans, military population, and does not. Whether it's firing the Joint Chiefs of Staff, because he was Black, there's no reason to fire him, other than the fact that he was Black, and calling him a DEI hire, undermining all of the great work that he had done over the course of his career, all the people he had helped, all the lives he had saved, all the strategies he had put in place to keep America safe, under presidents of different political parties. You know, he wasn't just an appointee by a Democratic president. He served under Republican presidents as well. So when you have that kind of person in office, when you see what is happening to veterans, when you, you know, do a bait and switch, right? Oh, we're just going to go after the blacks, knowing full well you're going to go after the veterans because they actually are protected by DEI. That is why when you apply for jobs, they have this section. And, you know, it's like, what's your race? What's your ethnicity? Are you a veteran? Do you have a disability? All of that is the DEI section. So it's not just black people like y'all like to pretend, or Latinx people like you like to pretend. It's also veterans. And the reason that we have these safety nets in place for veterans, because it's hard for them to transition back into society, particularly those who have been in battle. They have lots of challenges and issues that have to be met, and they have to be handled in a way that is kind and thoughtful and intentional. And then sometimes their jobs are so specific when they're in the military, it's hard for them to transition back into the workforce here, back, you know, when they come to the United States, because the specificity of the job does not allow them to align their qualifications and skills with jobs that are available in the market. And so sometimes they have to apply. That's what we call application. You all want to call it a handout, but really what it is looking at what they have accomplished, achieved, and learned and know and mastered in the military, and how we can transfer, that's what we call transferable skills, transfer those skills to the current workplace so that we can get them employed. And of course, if you can think of anybody who is deserving of being employed, it certainly would be someone who has served in the military. So, and that's worldwide, you know. You know, many countries require you to serve in the military in order to maintain your citizenship. So I say that to say what you need to know is sometimes what you're seeing is not lining up with what is really happening, and that we have to be mindful of people who are selling us one thing, but really doing something else. And so that is, oh, we love veterans. Veterans, they are my greatest supporters. Veterans love me. All of these things. I'm going to do things to help veterans. And then you look at what has happened and what is happening to veterans under this particular administration. You know, they have really been disenfranchised. They've been displaced. Many of them had jobs in the federal government because that was a place, a soft landing spot, if you will, for veterans. Many of them have had their whole division shut down. They've been made to leave. They have taken jobs, and the jobs no longer exist after uprooting their entire family. Things of that nature have happened. So I want you to pay attention to what is actually happening versus the rhetoric or the speaking that is happening. You know, do you really care about me when everything that you are doing, and I won't say everything, but a lot of what you are doing is going against me? Pell Grants, for instance, that is going against veterans as well. Elimination of the education department, that is going against veterans as well, because a lot of students and what we call non-traditional students are actually veterans. These are people who go to and serve, and then they come back and go to college, and they are in need of help and assistance and all of the things. So I just encourage you, and what I need you to know is that you should look at people's actions and think less about their words. People will tell you this, and we know this in like relationships, we get this in friendships, but I want you to think about this in politics, you know, because, oh, I don't trust politicians. But then you want to put everything behind this one particular politician over one thing. You could be a racist, right? You could be a sexist. You could be anti-establishment. You could be an anarchist. There are lots of reasons why you might support this candidate, this particular president, but really look at what is happening to you. And to your community. And I would say communities, because we're always connected to other communities, right? And see if that aligns with what this person is saying to you during these important dates in our history and in our present, and also during their time in office. All right, so tune in next week for another Need to Know with Dr. Nisenga Burton, and definitely check out the award-winning A Black Executive Perspective podcast with Tony and Chris. They are amazing hosts. They have wonderful conversations, and they talk to really interesting people. Have a wonderful day, and I will see you soon.
A Black Executive Perspective.